When we talk about the glory of Christ, we talk about glorifying Him, we're talking about two different things. He is inherently glorious. It's the glory of God is manifested in Him. And I feel that oft times that's forgotten, that He is the personification of God Almighty. He is the light. And that light is the life of men. We spoke of that last week. And in the first chapter of John, and verse 5, it's recorded that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I had a few comments to make about that last week. Now, I might not argue about this, but I'm prone to do that with things where I one little word makes a big difference. Almost everybody you read concerning John 1:5, they say the word comprehended means overcome. Walter, I checked everything I had, and it means understand. And I don't know why they're so adamant on having the word mean overcome. It is, as I've noted here, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, comprehend, or did not admit or receive. They didn't understand it. And it's amazing that the entire history of the world of which men are apt to make so much, they do it every week and every day on television, that we watch anything on the television, they make a great deal of the history of the world. And you know, most of it is inaccurate, even about our own nation's history. Just like Walter was pointing out this morning, a great deal is made over Thomas Jefferson. Well, Thomas Jefferson wasn't very much morally. And he certainly wasn't anything religiously. So what are you going to brag about? And you can go clear on back with each one if you want to. And of course, I'm one of those that don't have anything to brag about. Because my ancestry goes clear way back yonder. And this morning I was thinking that my ancestors farther back than I could possibly even name. In the old Celtic religions, David's too. In the old Celtic religions, were the founders of what is today known as Easter. In their paganism, they had fertility rites to guarantee crops, about which I could not possibly speak. You'll have to go and read it for yourself. That's about the extent of any nationality's contribution to society. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. But men make much of it. Here, the Holy Spirit passes over all the history of mankind and the history of the world just with a few words. All things were made by Him. Period. All the details of God's creation, all the creative acts are set aside. Now, if This tape will be sent out, and I'm going to say this anyhow. I get some put in the corner sometimes. I had a telephone call the other night by someone that you know and that I know quite well, and said, Earl, what kind of a civilization was there before Adam? What was it that peopled the earth? And frankly, I don't have any idea.
Right.
But I'm sure that there was something before Adam. What happened to it? I've got ideas about that, but that's not in today's discussion. But all of these things are set aside by the Spirit of God, and it says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All of the details and the theories that you see on the History Channel, Joe, yeah, are 85% false.
Yep.
Maybe more than that. Maybe more than that. All of the words and all of the theories of men can't be compared in the most insignificant way to this statement. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. But it takes the gift of faith to comprehend it.
Sure, yes, sir.
To perceive it. Now, why is that true? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, capital W, is the object and the subject of the Holy Spirit. That's why. The purpose of the Spirit was not to give us details about the creation of the world, but to acquaint us with the person of Jesus Christ, which is actually, as I said last Sunday, is Jesus Christ is Savior, Messiah, both in one office. The Spirit of God is acquainting us with the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of men.
Yes, sir.
That light, the true light which has come down from heaven, revealed both Jew and Gentile to be in darkness.
Yes.
And not only, maybe I said this last Sunday, I don't remember. Maybe I did. But not only were we in darkness, myself included, Walter included, everybody in darkness, but we were not only in darkness, but Paul writes in Ephesians 5:8, and listen to the words, for ye were sometimes darkness.
Yes.
Not only were we in darkness, but we were darkness.
Amen.
We promulgated darkness. We fostered darkness. We lived in darkness. Our deeds were done in darkness.
Yes, sir.
But now ye are light in the Lord. Jesus Christ is glorified by his work. He took that which was not and created something.
That's right.
He took a pitiful, wretched, fallen creature and made them the children of God. By his sacrifice. The natural man, his response to this is, I can't believe something that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Walter's run across that. I know I have. I can't understand it, and if I can't understand it, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, the Word of God has an answer to that also. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, and verses 4 and 5, says this, but if our gospel be hid, if you can't understand it, if it's hid, maybe I should use modern English and say, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost.
Amen.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Yes.
They can't see it because they're blind to it. Whether they're Jew or Gentile, not only in darkness, but our darkness. And in spite of all of the pretensions, all of the pride, and all of the glory that's heaped upon man, the darkness comprehends it not.
Right.
The wise men of this world don't comprehend it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Blind to it. Now, I'm going to stop a minute and say this. If you have no If you have an interest in the message and the ministry of Christ, if you're enabled to see beyond the darkness, even a little bit, mm-hmm. even a little bit, believe Christ.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I think it valid to, for me to tell sinners, if they're able,
yeah.
to seek Christ.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
To receive Christ.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
To believe Christ.
Amen.
And Walter, last Sunday, and I didn't disagree with him now because I'm in the same shape that he's in. I've been subjected far more than he has to just as I am. But you know the hymn is true.
Sure, yep, sure it is.
The hymn is true. It's misused, but the hymn is true.
Sure it is.
That just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Sure.
O Lamb of God, I come. That's a valid thing.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
That's a valid thing,
sure.
if you're able. Like Scott Richardson told that young man up at Mabscott one night when he said, well, I don't know what to think. Well, Scott said, accept Christ. You can if you will. You will if you can. And that's just the way it is. Now you say, well, don't answer with riddles. That's not a riddle.
No.
That's not a riddle.
No.
The word of God is plain. And Walter pointed that out very well this morning. Isaiah says in Isaiah 35 and verse 8, and an highway shall be there. Well, now let me stop a minute. Somebody's going to come along and say, Earl, you're way off base. That's Jewish. Well, some people want to take the Old Testament away from God's people.
Surely.
Saying that it's Jewish, or it was written and belongs to Israel. But let me tell you something. It belongs to Israel and to us.
Sure. Yes, sir.
It belongs to us far more now than it does to Israel,
right.
because Israel has a veil over her face.
Right. That's what the book
says. She can't see. Dispensationalism is fine,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, don't take away the promises of God that are in the Old Testament to God's people and say it's Israel.
Right.
That's right.
Or it's Jewish.
Right.
Because he hath made of the twain one new man. He joined them both together and promises. Well, you see, now, Earl, you're getting way off base because the kingdom is promised to the Jew. Only? Huh? I don't think so. Some people say that. But I don't think so. I read there that God's people are going to, the church is going to reign with him as priests and kings.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's what it says. And that's another matter of faith. All right. Here in the word of God is plain when he says, and an highway shall be there. Where? In life to God's people. In their living, there's going to be a highway there. And a way. And it shall be called, brace yourself, it shall be called a highway of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
The unclean shall not pass over it.
Right.
But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the wayfaring people, those who seek no continuing city,
right.
but a city eternal in the heavens, a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It'll be for the wayfaring men. Now get this. Though fools.
Right.
Though fools, and that makes me happy,
yeah.
shall not err therein.
Right. That's what it says. Yeah.
God doesn't require wisdom in order to follow him.
No.
That's it.
Though fools shall not err therein. You can't go wrong when you depend upon Jesus Christ. Savior Messiah. The way of every believer is a way of holiness.
Sure is.
Well, you say, Earl, I don't see much of that in you. I don't see much of it myself.
yeah. right.
I just tell the truth about it. Some other preachers may not, but I will. I agree with you. When you say, I don't see much holiness in you, no, you don't. At least that's my opinion also. But the way of the believer is a way of holiness. He is made, Christ is made unto us. Wisdom. Even though we're not wise. He's our wisdom.
That's it.
Righteousness. We're not righteous. He is made righteousness to us. God made him our righteousness. His righteousness is our righteousness. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Well, what does that mean? That means you're separated. God separates you.
Yeah, he does.
God's people are not of this world.
That's right.
While they live in it, work in it, use it, it's not their home.
Right.
It's not their home. It. Righteousness, sanctification, this separation, this some people would call sanctification a separation to holiness. All right, I won't fight with that. But it is in Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means I died when Christ died. I no longer can be brought into judgment because I died.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm crucified with Christ. Way back there, like Walter said this morning, he almost took my words. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I... Now, we say, I don't see much of Christ in you preachers. Well... Maybe not, but that's not what it's talking about.
No, exactly.
He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why? Because the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the only reason I live.
Yeah. Amen. That's it.
Some people have their life bound up with their deeds and their works. It won't work. It won't work. If you see me bow my head here, it's not because I'm tired or sick. It's because I write anymore, and I write so small that I can't read it. So I got to get close to it. Crucified with him, and over in Galatians, well, that's Galatians 2:20, but over in Colossians, the second chapter and verse 12, you find out that we are buried with him,
yeah,
and that we're raised with him. And over in Ephesians, that we're seated with him. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Is he?
Amen.
If you're a child of God, you are too.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How is that? How can that be, Earl? He's our representative,
yeah,
in everything. God says, I require holiness. He's my holiness.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
I require wisdom. He's my wisdom. I require a righteousness that is equal to my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. That's what God says.
Yeah.
We're buried with him, we're raised with him, and we're seated with him. So I'll take my place as a fool before God.
Yeah.
Long, long years ago. In, of all places, an Arminian church, I heard a message. And the finger of God reached down in the midst of paganism and ignorance and said, you. And I said, yes. Now, there's no way to explain that. There's no way to explain it. There's no why to it. So, yeah, I want to be on that highway, Walter.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I'm going to be on that. I want to stay there. Because the natural man as he's born, something has to happen to him before he can walk with God.
Yeah.
And you hit it right, Walter. You may not, if you're working people and so on, you may not get a chance to read God's word every day.
Sure.
And I can stand here and say, well, you ought to take the time. You know, you've been subject to that all my life.
Yeah.
But God's people ought to read his word.
Sure, yes, sir. Yeah.
But not for merit.
No. Yeah. No.
But not for merit. Not as a duty.
Right.
But as a joy.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I've had people that had no more knowledge of Christ than a tomcat tell me, well, I read my Bible every day. I don't care.
Right. Exactly.
I just don't care. Don't hold that up to me. Because I'm conscious of the fact of how poor and how destitute and how wretched and how naked and how blind are we apart from Christ.
Yeah.
I must appear before God in the righteousness of God. The only way I can do that is in his Son. And we are so poor and destitute, Walter, in being capable of appreciating the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. To the extent, well, we find ourselves in doubt sometimes.
Sure.
I mean, we find ourselves, me. I find myself. I'm in doubt of myself. Walter, do you stand up here with a sense of, boy, I'm capable to do this morning. I'm going to get them told today. No. No. I was at Henry's one time, Greg, preaching in a conference, and a young man preceded me. A young man, believe me. A child. And he stood up and he said, I am a Calvinist. Like you're reading, I have a ball. Do you see my ball? You know, that kind of, I am a Calvinist. And he went down the line on the 5 points before he ever said anything. So I followed him, and I got up and I said, I am not a Calvinist. And I went on, and that fitted in. It just fit in with the message of the day. Anyway, I went ahead and preached, and I was going to my car out on a parking lot for some reason. I don't know why. But here I heard my name being called by a woman. And I stopped and looked around. Here came a woman at a slow trot across the parking lot, waving her hand in the air. So she came up to me, and I waited. She came up to me. She said, Mr. Cochran, I wanted to talk to you. She said, I'm a graduate of the Calvin Institute at Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I thought, oh, no. No. I thought, boy, it's going on now. You know what she said? She said, I agreed with everything you said. You see, we get enamored of men.
Sure we do.
Oh, yeah.
And of, please understand me when I say this, we get enamored of doctrines, Walter.
Right.
And we go overboard.
Sure.
Yeah.
When it's Christ.
Amen.
Who's
yeah.
the center.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not, I can get in trouble here. It is not election.
No.
It is not predestination. It is not eternal security.
Right.
None of the, it is Christ and his work, his cross work, and his ministry through the Holy Spirit to us as we live today.
Yes, sir.
Rather than talk to somebody about reading the Word of God every day as a habit or whatever, I'd have to say this. Read the Word of God. That's a valuable asset to your life. But remember that in reading that word, and again, I have to give Walter credit for saying it. I have it written down here. What do you think about all day?
Yeah,
that's it.
What do you think about all day? what you want, what you're going to do, your pleasure, your work, your this, your that, my life. What do you think about? What is it? Remember, he's a judge of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts as well. So, when I say we're poor and destitute, I'm talking about we.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about some. I'm talking about we. Our only riches are found in Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And our only purpose and intent is to glorify him. And we can't raise him up. Mm-mm. He is now exalted.
Yeah.
God has exalted him.
Yes, sir.
Here's another Old Testament passage. But before I read it, we come down to John 1:6. Says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I'm not going to get very far this morning. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now I wonder why. Because of prophecy.
Yes,
wasn't John a cousin to the Lord Jesus? Yeah. Wasn't he one of the primary illustrations that a man can be saved before he's born?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He recognized Christ before Elizabeth gave birth to him.
That's the truth.
Because when Mary came, she was pregnant with our Lord. Mm-hmm. And she came to visit Elizabeth, and it says plainly, and you see, we believe this book. It says the babe leaped in her womb because of Christ.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says.
That's it.
So he was well aware in embryonic stage or in fetal stage who Jesus Christ was.
There you go.
Ah, oh boy, listen, that'd almost make a hollering Baptist out of me.
Yes, sir.
But they come along and they materialize the whole thing. John the Baptist comes on the scene. He comes on because of the Bible prophecy. You got these people like the author of The Trail of Blood. Don't read that book. It's all inaccurate. It's the history of Baptists. There's nothing accurate in it. In fact, he says that John the Baptist was the founder of the Baptist Church, and John the Baptist was not a gospel preacher. What do you think of that?
Right. There you go. Go ahead and tell
him. He was not a gospel preacher.
That's right.
He represented the law. And you didn't find John preaching to Gentiles. He was laying it on the Pharisees, and I'm proud of him for that. He said, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath that is come? How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Oh, I like John for that reason. But here's the reason he came. Here's the reason for John. Don't forget this. John was a great prophet. Christ said he was the greatest. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, Isaiah says these words, and this is a strange way for this to begin. Comfort ye my people, saith your God.
Yes.
Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished.
Yes.
They can't take that away from me.
Right.
That's right.
They can come along and say this is dispensational and it refers to the establishment of the Jewish kingdom. Listen, I'm certain that it does.
Sure it does. Sure.
I'm certain that it does, but I'll tell you this, it is also given to the church.
Sure it is.
Because the only way the Jews are going to come into their own is through Jesus Christ, and the only reason we have come into our own is through him.
Right, that's it.
Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The battle's over.
Battle,
sir.
Yeah.
Christ is won.
Mm-hmm.
And I've won too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a victor.
Sure.
The people talk about having the victory. Well, there's lots of days I don't have the victory. No, that's just telling the truth. And if somebody wants to listen to John Hagee and have confidence in him, that's all right, because he'll lie to you every time he preaches. But listen, the battle is over.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what it says here. That her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned.
Amen.
That's the church. Yes. That's the body of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah.
Oh, Matthew says so. I think Luke does too. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Yes, sir.
Well, did he come? Yeah, he did.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He sure did. And I'm fully aware of the fact that there's a definite dispensational view of this passage, but it's true in one period of, what is true in one period of time can well be true also in another.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe in comforting God's people.
Yeah. Yes.
In every way that I can.
Yes, sir.
The warfare is over. That should be a comfort.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have any battle to fight anymore to go to heaven.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
You trust Christ and you see, I'm not adding works. No, I'm saying trust in Christ. Believe him.
Sure.
And seek to obey him.
Yes, sir.
And we're not successful in that all the time. But you know what? He's taken the sins, your sins and mine, and he's cast them behind his back.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He'll remember them against us no more forever. Well, Earl, that's past sins. Well, if it was past sins, I hadn't committed any before I was
right.
born.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You see, it's just sin, not past or future,
right.
just sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we're believing sinners. Our Lord came unto his own. But his own, what? Received him not. And this was no surprise to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knew that was going to happen. I can speak comfortably to God's people and declare, as I have done, that their war has already been won. But now we see John as the immediate forerunner of the Messiah. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now men are not to believe through John.
No.
They're to believe through the light.
Right.
The scripture takes a great deal of pains to say that John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. In comparison to that light, John was just a lamp.
Right.
He was a candle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, so far as this thing of talking about John the Baptist and the Baptist church, don't fall into that.
Yeah.
Don't fall into that. Let me remind you of something. At one time, a fellow by the name of Apollos came to Ephesus. And he was a word bender, believe me.
Yeah.
He was eloquent.
Right. That's what it says.
He was an orator. Scripture says so.
Right.
Yep. He had the ability to sway men and women. Mm-hmm. There were two people there by the name of Priscilla and Aquila, and they heard him. And they took him unto them and expounded the word of God more perfectly. Well, why did they do that? Well, verse 25 of that chapter in Acts tells us, what is it, 18? Tells us that he knew only the baptism of John.
Right.
And there was another one, I don't have time. Over in Acts, the 19th chapter, in verses 1 through 7, you find a whole bunch of people that Paul went to them and he said, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? And they said, we've not even heard that there was one.
That's it.
Well, he said, with what baptism were you baptized unto? They said, John's. Then he preached unto them Jesus Christ, and they were baptized
right.
in his name.
Yes, sir.
No, John was a forerunner. He was before Christ. That was his task. Let me tell you, as a great prophet, he died under the wicked hands of Herod Antipas,
sure. mm-hmm.
who had his head chopped off because of lust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. John went to him and said, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife.
That's what he told him.
And it ended up headless because Herod chopped his head off. And Jesus said, there's not a greater prophet ever lived than John.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was that true light, which on coming into the world, and I want to finish this and then I'm done, which on coming into the world lighteth every man. That sounds like universalism, Walter.
Sure.
Well, let's see. This passage is speaking of the effect of the light
sure.
on man.
Yeah.
What does light do? It reveals, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know where you are. I go in the house, you know, if I go into a dark room, well, I may do it in a light room now, but I go into a dark room, I'm feeling around to see if I can remember where the stuff was.
Yeah.
Turn on the light, it's revealed where I am.
Exactly.
In that sense, Christ is the light and lighteth every man. He shows you where you are.
Sure. Yes, sir.
And what you are. And that is mostly darkness. It's not every man that cometh into the world, but that when he comes into the world, he's the one that turns the light on.
Right.
Everyone here, every human being. And there was a time, you know, over in Acts 17:30, and I don't know whether I understand this or not, but there was a time, Paul says, when he was speaking to the Athenian philosophers, he said, in the times of your ignorance, God winked at your sin. Well, now everything has to appear in the light of Christ.
Right.
At one time, God winked at their ignorance. Now the light of Christ reveals it. And this morning you've had revealed to you the gospel
sure.
and the person of Christ. Now everything has to appear in the light of Christ. In the light of his coming, in the light of his life, in the light of his death, in the light of his resurrection, in the light of his ascension, in the light of his seating at the right hand of God as a man. There's a man sitting there now.
Yeah.
And there is a man who is coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Other than that, other than for his light, everything is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He comes into the world and lights every man there just as they are, and not a one escapes from that light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the awful result of that darkness was that the world knew him not.
Yes.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was cast out of the world that he created. And you know what? Today he's left out. He was cast out. Today he's left out. He's left out of professed believers' lives in that he's not taken into consideration. They plan and they do without consideration of God's purpose and God's blessing. He's left out. It happens in churches that Christ is left out. And we build another gymnasium. We build another family center. Christ is left out. Let me encourage you to let him in. You see, now, preacher, you're preaching works. No, I'm not. I'm talking about bowing to the only authority that this world has.
Amen.
And that's King Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Our Father, we're grateful again this morning that we've been able to be here. In a faltering and in a stammering way, trying to hold forth the glories of the person of Jesus Christ and his work and his place. May our hearts be open to receive the blessings of your Spirit, and that we might be obedient to the purposes of God in our lives through Christ our Lord. Amen.